Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
There's always a battle taking place, all the time. And as believers, the place where we are most often attacked is in the battle of the mind. I know that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's what the word says. I know that the enemy can come to attack you physically. I know that. I've seen it many times. I know that he can make things go bump in the night. I've told this story in the e-course before, but there was a time when me and my wife were in a heavy season of intercession, praying hours and hours and hours every single night. It was like right when we first got saved in the honeymoon phase, you know, when you don't want anything else but the presence of God. Amen. Isn't that such the best phase of our life as a Christian, is when you're in that season? Well, anyways, and I remember the one night we were exhausted and desperately needed to sleep. I don't know why I'm telling the story, Pastor John, but we were exhausted and just needed sleep. Anybody ever been exhausted? Anybody ever just said, Lord, just let me rest tonight in Jesus' name? Laid my head down. I don't know. It must have been 2 o'clock in the morning, give or take. And we heard this at the time. My wife was learning to play piano and I was playing the guitar, and we would sit in our kitchen because our house in Okeechobee wasn't very big. And we would like walk and play, and I'd play my little instrument and like the three chords that I knew. And we would just go for it, and we would worship God, and we would just have these amazing times. Well, I say all that to say this, not because I sing beautifully or I'm talented in that area, because I'm really not. I still only know three chords. It's been many years since this story. But I set the guitar on the kitchen table. I said, babe, we got to go to bed. I'm exhausted. I can't do this. We just got to go to bed. So we went to bed, and like an hour went by, and we heard, bong! And I thought, oh, gosh, someone's in our house. So I ran out of our bedroom, and I went into the kitchen, and I checked. All the doors are locked. All the windows are locked. But my guitar had got slung off the kitchen table and bang, and went into the little cabinet there on the side and broke the little stem off the guitar. I still have the guitar. It's still broken. I keep it as a keepsake when the youth tell me that I'm lying and this didn't actually happen. So I'll tell them this story in youth group, and then I'll go get the guitar and bring it out and say, look, this is the guitar that the devil broke. So I say all that to say this. I say all that to say this, that he will attack in other ways. I'm not ignorant to the fact that the devil will attack outside of our mind. But I believe the number one place that Christians are attacked on a regular basis is in the battle of the mind. Now, the book of Ephesians says in chapter 4 that we are to put off our former conduct. That means that there is a doing that has to take place. We have to physically get involved in order for our minds to begin to shift, in order for our minds to begin to change. We cannot continue doing the same things over and over and over again, expecting a different result. I see it so many times with the lives of the young people. I'm sorry, guys, you guys are just my, you know, example tonight. But they get saved, they get set on fire for God for about 27 minutes, and then they get in the car and they drive home, and they just expect everything around them to change because they made a decision. I want to tell you, just making a decision alone doesn't change you. It's an act that takes place in the heart, and that heart change begins to cause you to do something. I know all of you are like, Pastor Mike, you preached this last time you were here. I'm getting somewhere, I hope. I don't know why. This is not my message at all. But the mind has got to change. The mindset has got to shift. Our old running partners, we've got to shift the way that we think. The people that we used to hang out with that cause us to do the wrong things, we got to change. We got to put off our former conduct, our thought ways. I'm ugly. I'm not smart. I'm negative all the time. I'm not good enough. What lie are you buying into that the devil is trying to tell you? Because I want to tell you tonight, and I hope I'm encouraging somebody tonight, that God says something totally different about you. He says that you are beautiful and wonderfully made. He says that you've got a calling, a purpose, and a destiny. You are much greater than you even think that you are. Don't buy into the lies of the devil. The devil is a liar. But we've got to change our mind. And too many of us are just quite too happy to buy into the old ways, or too happy to buy into the old thought patterns. I'm sorry. I'm not an addict anymore. No. I take that back. I'm not sorry about that. I'm quite happy about the fact. When I say addict, everybody's minds go one way. I did Copenhagen long cut for a very long time. I don't know what y'all were thinking, but I was a toucan a dayer. And I praise God, I'm not addicted no more. I had to put off my former conduct. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the image of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because here's the deal. If we can get our minds to buy into what God says about us, our body will follow suit naturally. It'll just begin to take place. So I choose to believe tonight that the devil is a liar. I choose to believe tonight that whatever the enemy has lied to you about and has told you the negative things about you, that you're not good enough, that you're not this, that you're not that, the devil is a liar. And I believe wholeheartedly that every person sitting in this room has a calling, has a destiny, and has a purpose. And God calls you amazing. He calls you wonderful. And I wish that we would begin to look more about what God says about us than what the enemy says about us. I'm not concerned about what the world system says about me. I could care less what the devil has to say about me. I don't want to know man's opinion about me. It's probably not very high, and that's okay. I want to know God's opinion. Somebody say amen. But we got to begin to change our mind. We got to begin to change our mind. Because tonight I'm hoping to deal with a couple of lies from the enemy. And I'm really hoping that somebody gets set free in this place from a bondage of discouragement and insignificance. Because you are significant. I need to just bring my bottle that I use when I bike. I just tilt it back and squeeze, you know, like the sports bottle. Okay. Every part has purpose. Will you turn to your neighbor and tell them, my part has purpose? My part has purpose. There are so many different roles in the kingdom of God. And every single role that operates in the kingdom of God is extremely important. And I want to deal with a couple of lies from the enemy. And I think I understand now why I had to start out the way that I did, was because ultimately this comes down to a decision. You've got to choose to begin to change your mind and realize that the thoughts that the enemy is feeding you is just that. It's a lie. It's just a complete lie. And when we begin to choose to believe that what God has for me is so much greater than what the enemy can throw and put in front of me, because he'll dress it up like something that looks really good. It's a trap. Run. Run really fast. I don't care how the devil likes to dress it up and paint it, and you know, it's a trap. What God has for you, doesn't matter how insignificant you feel. Listen, as far as I understood, the Bible that I read said that I don't go by feelings alone. I operate by faith. So that means even when I feel insignificant, my calling is still greater than I feel. The problem is that we have this thing about us where we tend to look at where we're at with a worldly perspective. We weigh out what we do in the kingdom through a worldly mindset, through a worldly lens. In other words, if I'm not the great apostle or the great prophet on the stage, what I do for the kingdom is insignificant. I want to tell you tonight, the devil is a liar. Well, I'm not the worship leader in the front. I'm only a background vocalist. I'm insignificant. I'm not good enough. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, the devil is a liar. I'm only editing the videos in the back room where nobody ever gets to see me. Nobody even knows I exist. My job is insignificant. Somebody say, the devil is a liar. I'm only changing diapers in the children's ministry week after week after week, and I got screaming babies coming out of my ears. I'm not affecting the kingdom. Somebody say, the devil is a liar. I got to deal with some crazy hormone raging teens, and they don't listen to a single thing I say ever. Somebody say the devil is a liar. Sorry, I got a little emotional there. I might be invested in that one. I'm just painting trim. I'm just taking out the trash. I'm just cleaning the church floors. I'm just wiping out the toilets. I'm just restocking the chairs. I'm just making the coffee in the cafe. Somebody say the devil is a liar. See, the enemy, one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is to make you feel like what you do isn't good and what you do isn't a part of the kingdom. I want to let you know, I'm skipping ahead. Is that okay? Just rolling with it. When an altar call gets made, no, you may not be the senior pastor on the pulpit who was led by the Spirit in the moment to make an altar call and 50 people got brought into the kingdom. But the word says that you can rejoice along with him because you were a partaker. Somebody say, my part has purpose. Door greeters, my part has purpose. When that new person walks through the doors and you're the first smile that they see and you're the first handshake that they get and they didn't know that handshake was a Holy Ghost setup because you're filled with God and the presence of the living God, and when you shook their hand, every demon inside of them said, oh, I need to get out of here. It's hot. Welcome to Oceans. It's so glad to see you. Somebody say the devil is a liar. It's a Holy Ghost setup. I'm just a door greeter. I'm just a volunteer. I'm just doing the filming tonight on there. Well, maybe there's someone in Venezuela tonight that needs to be set free from whatever bondage you have. I believe there's somebody right now that's tuning in and you feel insignificant. And I just feel so led by the Lord to tell you, you are not insignificant. Don't give up. Don't let go too soon. I take authority now over that spirit of suicide. And I bind you in Jesus' name. Be set free. Be healed. Don't give up and carry on. You are not insignificant in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Somebody say, my part has purpose. Your part is so significant to the kingdom of God. And I refuse to allow discouragement to set into my family, into my life, into my ministry, into the youth here at Oceans Unite Christian Center, into anybody that's willing to listen to me tonight, carry on and scream and shout. Do not be discouraged. Your part has purpose, no matter how big or no matter how small. 1 Corinthians 12. 12 through 26. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? This seems like common sense. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he has pleased. Just as he has pleased. You're right where you need to be right now. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Are necessary. Are necessary. It does not say insignificant. They are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, my part has purpose? This is the wonderful thing about, I love about being a biologist. I'm not actually a biologist, I'm just a youth pastor. But I do have a degree in biology, for those of you that thought I was going somewhere else with that. When I studied for my degree, a lot of the courses that I took, you learn about human life and things of that sort, and it's so amazing because then when you that happens and then you begin to read the scriptures, they come alive to you. And so, for instance, something like this, you know, we often think about certain areas of the body and we esteem more value to them, right? Which is just like, you know, the enemy likes to throw all the esteem on the pastor and then make you feel like you're not worthy of anything because you're not the one preaching the word. Well, that is a lie. I love the pastor. I honor the pastor. I esteem the pastor, yes, but we all have a part to play. Are you with me? But it's like, you know, our mouth. Everybody likes a pretty smile. That's why Pastor Alex and my wife were so adamant about getting me to quit dipping. Because this pretty smile would have been jacked up by now. Or if it wasn't, it'd just been full of all that grit, you know. How y'all doing? So we notice the teeth, because they're what people see. But we all forget about the gums. They seem insignificant until you don't have them. Where's my dentist at? They seem real insignificant till you don't have them. And now all of a sudden, bacteria begins to grow at an abnormal rate and your teeth begin to rot out of your head. Not to mention the fact that your teeth wouldn't really even stay in where they're supposed to be, because they're also part of the fact that holds the teeth where they are. They cover up and they protect the root endings all the way up in there. You'd breathe in and be in an excruciating pain. We love to talk about the teeth, but we forget all about the gums. But it's important. Say it's significant. What about the tongue? You don't ever see nobody's tongue unless they're real upset with you. Sometimes little kids. But that's about the only time you ever see the tongue. But I promise you, you forget about it in the moment. But if your tongue was cut off, you'd realize it real quick how important that tongue is. You can't talk. You can't sing. How about the big toe, the one that we all stub? You can lose a pinky toe, but if you cut the big toe off, you lose your balance. How about that little bone inside of the ear that nobody ever sees? And that little bone is what keeps you balanced. Vertigo, anyone heard of that? That's generally when that bone gets out of place. See, the human body is awesome because it just explains the word of God so beautifully. Why am I saying all that? Because your part is important. I don't know what role you play here at Oceans. There's too many hands operating on a regular basis for me to keep up with. I can't even hardly remember all the ministries to pray in a prayer meeting. I always feel so bad. I'm like, get up here to start praying for Oceans. I name off about 7 or 8 of them and then I lose track. Not to mention all the amazing volunteers that make it happen on a week-to-week basis. What has Jenny got, like 100 volunteers in kids ministry? Somebody say amen. Amen. Changing diapers, and you don't know, you're changing the kingdom. Amen. Amen. I wish I had that anointing, but I just don't. Amen. But every part has its purpose. And the enemy loves to try to tell you that if you're not in the limelight, you're not of importance. If you're not being seen, you're not of importance. I love verse 26 because it says that if one suffers, all suffer. And if one is honored, all are honored. And I think that's so profound because, as I said at the beginning, I was kind of jumping ahead a little bit there. If Pastor Alex makes an altar call, guess what? I get to glory in that as well. And I would have said that whether I was a full-time employee here at Oceans Unite Christian Center or a first-time believer that walked in and said, "This is my house." Because the moment that I say, "This is my house," that means I align myself with the vision that God has given Pastor Alex for this house. To take the fire of God to the city and nation. That is now my vision. Why? Because I've aligned myself with Him. I got to ask you a question. Ladies, if you put an earring on your ear, does that earring belong to your ear or to your body? If you put that earring on one ear, you don't say, "My left ear owns this earring." No, you say, "I have an earring." Are you a part of the body? You may be a left ear, but that means if you've become a left ear, that vision that was given from the pulpit where He says we're called to take the fire of God to this city and nation by teaching and demonstrating His love and power, guess what? That earring is yours too. So when it begins to manifest in front of us and we see souls won to the kingdom, we see somebody get set free, we see somebody get delivered, we see somebody get healed, guess what? I'm not just an ear, I'm a part of that body. That means I rejoice alongside with my pastor because God is fulfilling the vision that He has given him, and I'm a part of that body. The devil is a liar. I'm not going to feel insignificant. I'm not going to feel less than. Praise the Lord. He's using somebody. He's touching somebody. He's healing somebody. That vision is coming to pass. I may be an ear. I may be a little toe. I may be the funk growing between your pinky toe. But you know what? I'm still attached. Somebody say, "Praise God, I'm still attached." Only becomes a problem when you get cut off. Second Timothy 2. I didn't finish my sentence. Y'all pray for me. Whew. Sorry, Pastor. I'm actually legitimately sweating tonight. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. One lie of the devil is that less visible equals less important. Now, that word "great" there, "but in a great house," is the Greek word megale. And in context, it says a mega house or a gigantic house, or in what today's world we would call a mansion. Notice it says that in a mansion, even in the greatest house, the most exuberant, the most amazing looking thing that you can ever put words to, it says there are not only vessels of gold and vessels of silver, but also vessels of wood and vessels of clay. Now, I have to pose the thought, because I'm really just trying to drive this point home, because I really believe someone's going to get set free from this tonight. Can you imagine if there's anybody in here that does any kind of construction work, my construction workers? Could you imagine having a porcelain hammer? Or how about a golden mop? Or a silver toilet? Or a shovel built out of the finest linen? Doesn't make any sense, right? If you had a porcelain hammer, the first nail you'd try to push through, in order to be productive with that specific tool has to be designed and made in a specific way to complete the task that is in front of that item. So some vessels are meant to be built with a little bit of a rougher exterior. Praise the Lord for the iron and the clay and the wood that's in the church, because there are certain things that need to get done that the dainty little porcelain teacup couldn't handle. There are jobs that take a little bit of brute force, and the little teacup ain't gonna get it done, because the first sign of breakage or force, I don't know where my words are tonight, the little teacup's gonna shatter. But how many of you know an old nasty clay fork. And I'm just trying to give you real life imagery here to show you that you can't get upset with where you're at right now. And that's your position is significance. Why? Because God has a task that needs to get done. Who are we to say, I have to be this or I have to be that or I'm not serving you? No, no, no. My heart cry is, God, I'll be whatever you want me to be. Let me be the clay. Let me be the wood. I'll be the old rusty nail on the wall. Whatever you need, God, I'll do it because I'll serve you because I love you. And everything in me wants to serve you, whether I'm a vessel of silver, whether I'm a vessel of clay, porcelain, don't matter. I do it because I love you. And the devil is a liar for making me feel insignificant. The devil is a liar for making me think those negative thoughts about myself, about my calling, about my serving. The devil is a liar for making me think that my serving is insignificant. Get underneath my feet, devil, that's where you belong. That floor need to be mopped. Those walls did need to get painted. And listen, I say that all the time and everybody's like, oh, it's because he does maintenance here at the church. I want to let you know, I don't do as much maintenance as you think I do. It's a facade. Tara, you're laughing way too hard at that. She knows her desk is like across the way from mine. But there are amazing volunteers in this church that are painting, that are cutting tree limbs, that are laying mulch, that are doing whatever it takes, taking out the trash, making coffees in the coffee shop, cooking amazing barbecue brisket cheese fries for the special this week. Somebody say amen for cheese fries. But every part has its purpose. How can you say cheese fries are important to the kingdom of God? Well, maybe that person that came into the service and they didn't get saved in the moment in the service. They went to the cafe to get a bite of lunch. And in the cafe, somebody sat down to them and began to minister their testimony. Somebody say, my part has purpose. The devil is a liar. I'm not insignificant. I'm not insignificant. My part has purpose. My testimony has purpose. All from a plate of barbecue cheese fries. I pray that God would save so many people this week because of them barbecue cheese fries. You guys think I'm kidding. I am so serious, it's not even funny. I'm going to be watching this week as I walk around and look busy. I'm going to check and see who's eating the cheese fries and who's laying hands on people. Okay. Matthew 25, and then I'm going to close. But if I could, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Can we just jump to verse 21? This is the parable of the talents, and the master gave out 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, and he went away, and the servants were supposed to do something with those talents while the master went away, and the master went away, and when he came back, he asked for a report from the servants on what happened with their talents, and then that's where we're at right now, and I want to pick it up from verse 21, because some of them did something with them, because remember, you have to choose. You have to make a choice to do something with what God has given you, regardless of how big and regardless of how small. And I want to show you tonight that God will bless both equally, regardless of the size that it may appear. Remember, we got to stop looking at our calling, our purpose, our destiny, what God is having us do here in this moment or even in this season. We have to stop looking at it with a worldly perspective, but begin to look at it through a kingdom mindset and a kingdom perspective. Verse 21 says that his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you a ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Amen. Verse 23, please. And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Well, that's strange. Can we put verse 21 back up? And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things, and I make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Can we put verse 23 back up one more time? And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." What? What? Do you know what the difference between verse 21 and verse 23 is? The Lord was addressing the one who was given 5 talents, and then he was addressing the one who was given 2 talents. And the fact is the response from Lord was the same for both. Even though one multiplied and had 10 and one multiplied and had 4, the fact is, see, in a worldly mindset, we would look at that and say, well, the one who got back tenfold or made a doubling on his profit and had 10 talents, man, he was better. He did a better job. He did more gooder, didn't he, boss? That's the worldly perspective, is that he did better. But notice, God doesn't see it that way. He says, listen, I don't care if you have this job or if you have this job. I'm going to bless you either way as long as you're faithful in what I have given you. And I hope I'm giving this message across to the right way. I hope somebody's being set free tonight, that it doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how small, as long as you are faithful in the little things, my God that we serve, he's the God that multiplies. And I believe he's saying to you tonight, I don't care what the enemy says about your insignificance, as long as you will be faithful in the little, I will bless you big. I will multiply it in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Father, in this place, I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I thank you, Lord. You are the God who multiplies. I thank you, Father, that regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I think, regardless of what is going on in my mind, you always have something better to say about me than I do, and you always have something to say better about me than the enemy does. I thank you, Father, you are the God that multiplies. I thank you, Father, that when we are so faithful with the little, you will give us so much more than we could ever expect. Father, I pray tonight for any individual that is here that has ever felt insignificant, that has ever begun to get negative about themselves because they feel like what they do isn't enough. Father, I come against those thoughts now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I remove any insignificant feeling and any negative thoughts, but in the mighty and the precious name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would just begin to minister to them, that you would begin to fill them up afresh tonight in the name of Jesus, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Let them leave this place tonight encouraged and set on fire for you, because ultimately, Father, we need everybody to be together on this, because the vision that you have given is so much bigger than just us. What you have in store for this city, for this nation, for oceans, is so much bigger than one person. So do it, Lord. We align ourselves with the vision, and we say, do it, Lord. Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' mighty and precious name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.